Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It has been an absolute joy these last 21 days to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know that any of you who have joined us for those 21 days will say it was worthwhile. It was worthwhile to engage in this process. And I know for us who came here and prayed each morning, it was so encouraging. And I know God has been doing a work in us. And, you know, he is faithful in that way, that as you put the time aside, as you follow in God's footsteps, that he is faithful to do a work in you that sometimes you don't actually know that needs doing. So can I encourage you to lean in to God's challenge for you, what he is saying to you, what he has spoken to you over the last weeks or months or even years in life. Lean into that process because he is faithful to see that come to completion. And I just want to honor and thank Chris for his leadership of us yesterday in the day of prayer. And it was a wonderful time here. But I want to encourage you, church, beyond what we saw happen in the physical when we were here, church, we understand that we do not just live in a spiritual, in a physical world, but there is a spiritual fight going on as well. And yesterday, we came together not just to pray for needs that we have, we came together to pray for you. We lifted you up in prayer yesterday. The God would be glorified as you continue to say yes to him. And I'm excited for what God wants to do in us and through us as a church community in the months and the years to come. Have your way in us, God, we pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that comes alive. We thank you, Father, for your spirit that brings to mind those things that we need to shift and change. And Lord God, challenge us in ways to come before you and lay ourselves down before you afresh. Father, as we come around your word today, we want to do that very thing. Open ourselves up so that you may be able to have your way in us. Let it not just tickle our ears today, Lord God, but let your word do a mighty work in our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We are, as Matt alluded to, going to start a new series today. And this series is called this, Success. Success. We should have a slide. There it is. A biblical definition. And that's very important that we start off and understand that this is a biblical definition of success that we're going to look at. And the title for my message, if you're writing notes today, is this. The next slide. One Step to Success. Sometimes we get books and they say 7 tips for the successful leader or 101 things that you need to do to become successful. But this is going to be simpler than that. One step to success. Let me ask you a question. Are you winning at life? Are you winning at life? I think the correct answer to that question should be, well, it depends on the stick that you're measuring me against. The question is, where is that actual win? I read a YouTube thumbnail the other day, and it said how to crush it in 2023. How to crush it, or how to own it, or ask for a youth phrase to this. Like, what's the up-to-date version of, like, winning at life? And one of the guys, have you got one, Matt? One of the guys said to me, he said, I say this. He said, oh, I'm taking a dub. Taking a dub, man. Yet today, I took a dub. Do you know what that means? Do you say that? Beck, do you say that? No. Taking it. No. Oh. D-U-B. Not D-U-M-P. I get it now. I didn't hear it when this youth kid said that. But anyway, taking a dub. What he means by that is taking a W, which means having a win. So anyway, taking a dub. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty stupid, isn't it? I agree. Thank you, though. Thank you. So the question becomes, what does it look like? Like, what is it? Don't. Just take that out of your mind. Throw it away. But what does it actually look like to be successful in life? And if I was to bring this microphone around and ask you that question, what would you say? If I said to you, like, what does success in life look like? What would immediately come to your mind? And the answer would be very broad. We would all have different things as part of that. So let's just start with the dictionary. What does the dictionary say? Success says this in the dictionary. Number one, the favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors, the accomplishment of one's goals, accomplishment. Secondly, it says the attainment of wealth, position, honors, or the like. And thirdly, a performance or achievement that is marked by success as by the attainment of honors. And if we're honest, this is the general picture that would be painted if we were to ask to define success from a world standard. These three A's, achievement, I think it was a slide, have we got? Achievement, accomplishment, and attainment. Achievement, accomplishment, attainment, success. And so I want to take a microscope to this for just a moment and have an understanding of how this works in our lives. Think about your shopping list. Think about if you need to go to the shops after church, how have you formatted that shopping list? For some of you, it would have been scribbled on a notepad, right? And you're ripping that off and taking it with you. For others, in the digital age, you've written it into your phone and you share it with your partner or your family member or whatever, and you go and you get all those things. Others, you've got a little tick list or whatever it is. But think about the moment, every time you go to the shops, that you get to the bottom of the list and you get to scratch off that last thing. A line goes through the last thing, then they've all got lines through them. What do you feel in that moment? Apart from broke, like, it's a sense of achievement. When you tick off that last thing, perhaps using an app or you delete it or you tick it off, they've all got ticks. How do you feel? I feel good. I feel good. I've achieved something today. I've got to the bottom of my list. For others of you, it might be about your inbox. You think about your emails. How does it feel to get to the bottom of your inbox? To have actioned that last email for the day? How do you feel? For 5 minutes until the next email comes, you feel good. I see lots of nods. Phone games. Now, I'm talking a couple of more of the young people, but I know some of you oldies like your phone games as well. Phone games, they are designed with the understanding of our brains wired into them. When you get to the end of a level and instead of getting 3 stars, you get 2 stars, what do you want to do? Go back and do it so you get 3 stars. We want to accomplish. And you know why? There's a special star for you when you finish the level on your first try, because they know that that sense of accomplishment is something that is wired into us. That's why there's a special sound when you complete it as well. These things are designed around our God-given desire to accomplish something, to gain an achievement or to attain a goal, whether it's one that's been set by ourselves or one that has been set by someone else. What's interesting to know that this is that this definition of success isn't just formed by society and what people would say is success. It's not a manufactured, it's simple science and biology. And so we're going to start by looking at some science today. Do you know what's happening in your brain when you finish your shopping list? Do you know why it feels good? Because there is a chemical that's released in your brain, many of you might have heard of this, called dopamine. Dopamine is responsible for that pleasurable feeling when you go tick on that last thing. It's dopamine. I'm going to give you a little bit of a brief understanding. If you want the full explanation of dopamine, come and see our resident neuroscience major, Steph, after the service. I asked Steph this week in the office, Steph, do you know about dopamine? And then I just went blank because she just spoke all these words that I didn't understand to me. She knows. But basically, it's responsible for making you feel good when you scratch that last item, action that last email, or win that video game level. Dopamine. Basically, it is a surge of reinforcing pleasure for achievement. It is our body's own inbuilt motivation mechanism, responsible for feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, and indeed, motivation. Are you with me so far? Do you understand? Some people do. And I know you're probably thinking, Andy, come on, where's the Bible? It's right here. And that is the right question to ask. What does God say about this? And it is a question we want to ask about every little thing in life. What does God say about this? That is the right question. And it's also as evidence in the science here that God created dopamine. He created your brain. He created it in a way that the connection between your brain and accomplishment is filled in with this thing. He created us that way.
So if God created us this way, we shouldn't be at all surprised that the world's view, a world full of human beings that God created, of success is one that highlights achievement, accomplishment, and attainment. It's an inherent desire in all of us. So the question today that we want to ask is not, are we made to be successful? The question is not, what do I do to achieve success? The question is not even, how do I become successful? The question that we need to ask and answer today is, by whose definition am I going to measure success? By whose definition? All right, Judah, I need that prop, please. And Maddie, can we get that out, please? Oh, not yet. Just wait. Yep, throw it up. Thank you, buddy. All right. Perhaps the easiest picture I had for this is around sport, because sport is easy to understand when it comes becomes the measure of success. In most sports, there is a super clear definition of ultimate success. What is it? Someone said dunk. No. To win. That is the goal, to win. And to win at sports, you need to do different things right in order to win. That is the goal. And Wazza, where's Wazza? Come on up, Warren. Can we give Warren a hand as he comes and helps me on the platform today? Come on, mate. Here we go. Come on, Waz. Faster. You're middle-aged. That's right. I said that one time, didn't I? Here you go, Waz. This is for you. Now, Warren, I want you to do something for me. Warren is actually, we call him the three-point sniper. He is a three-point master from behind the three-point arc. Yes. An all-round nice guy. All right, Waz, I want you to win. Go now. Do it. Well, that is the correct question. If you didn't hear what Warren said, he said, what do you want me to shoot at? Logical question when I ask you to win at something. Because you don't know what you're aiming for. Nobody has defined success for you in this instant. And so for us, when we to understand success, like, we got to know what we're shooting at. Yeah? So I want to do two things for you right now. Thanks, Maddie. Let's grab that other prop out. Thank you. Thanks, Cam, for your help with this. Now, Warren, come over here into the middle. Stop standing so far away from me. There you go. How are you feeling today?
Not bad.
How's your body feeling?
Older.
Older. How are your shooting arms?
They should be good.
Good. All right. Well, I hope your shooting arms are doing good, because this is your game for today. The guys are being very careful not to hit any musical instruments. So keep going that way a bit further, guys, just because we're further away from the keys. Thank you. That's perfect. Yeah, that's great. Now, if you guys can both each stand in front of a keyboard to be a rebounder, we have learnt from past experience. No, it's okay. All right, Waz. We're defining this success. I want to do two things for you. I want you to understand, this is my game that I've created, all right, my game, and it's called Winning Wazza. And I'm going to define for you how to win this game. Waz, all you need to do is hit 3 buckets in a row, okay? You reckon you can do that? The line for you is, so we don't hit any lights, here. All right, you go for it. Come on, cheer him on, everyone. Cheer him on. That is an air ball, Wazza. That's a range finder. That's what we call it. All right, come on, mate. All right, 3 in a row. Cheer him on, everyone. Come on. Oh, Wazza. Give it some, Warren. Give it some. Yeah, 1. All right, next one. Oh, all right, back to 0. Come on, Waz, you got this. Oh, might need to take your shirt off. Don't do that. No. 1. Look, that's a swish. That's where you want it. Right there, Waz. You got it now. All right. We might have to pretend that Wazza wins. 1. All right. Come on. Number 2. Oh, yes. 2. All right. 3rd one in. Yeah. Winner. Oh. Oh, you, come on, mate. You ruined that one. Thanks, guys. You can take that down. You can leave that there. Well done, Warren. Give Warren a hand, everyone. That was successful. Well done. So if we're to be successful in life, we first need to understand who defines success. I was the one that created the game. And then what it looks like to be successful, three in a row. And it must come in that order. It is no good Warren coming up here and having a crack at being successful when he doesn't know who has actually defined that. Ultimately, who defines success? It comes back to our creator. The creator, I was thinking about card games this week, and there is a card game called Exploding Kittens. I don't know if you've heard of that game. The creators of Exploding Kittens have decided that it is not a win for you to get rid of all your cards, nor is it a win to gain all of the cards. It is a win to simply not be holding the exploding kitten. They defined it. That is the win. Who would know? But the creators of the game. And our creator defines the win. And God has done that for us. And so let's start with the who. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. I'm going to read this in two different versions. In the NLT, it says this. Christ is the... Can you guys see with that ring there? You okay? You dealing with it? All right. We don't need a light down. No one's saying anything, so we won't. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. Read in your Bibles if you don't know. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, Christ. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on earth, he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Jesus Christ is Lord, everyone. Everything was created through him. What you can see, what you can't see. And therefore, if he is the ultimate creator, then he is the ultimate definer of success for you and me, his creation. Let's read it. I want to bring it out in the Message paraphrase as well. It says this: we look at the sun and we see God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and, read that with me, finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. Not only do we find our definition of success in him because he is our creator, but also our purpose. Our purpose is found. And these two things go hand in hand, our purpose and success. The Christian life lived out in all its fullness. It must matter to us that he defines it. Why? Perhaps most importantly is because he is trustworthy and he is faithful. And we can see it throughout the history of the world that God can be trusted. Now, I want to have a race, and I was going to grab a kid to come up and have a race, but Maddie, you are the one that gets to race with me, so come on up onto the stage. So, Maddie, what I have done before the service is I have hid, come over here, we're going to run that way, I've hid a lolly underneath, or some lollies underneath that table over there. So I want you and I know you think that you are fitter than me, but I've got some spring in these legs, and so I'm going to count down, one, two, three, and then we're going to run, and the first person to get that lolly gets to take it home, all right? You can go that side, sure. You can do whatever you want. All right, you ready? You ready? Three, two, one, go. Go find it, Maddie. Go find it. Did you find it? No, you didn't. I found it. I've got the lolly. I won, everybody. Yes, yes. Good luck, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. My lolly. My lolly. What's the point? If you can't trust the person that is defining the win, then they are going to send you in exactly the opposite direction. And there is somebody who is trying to define a win for you that you cannot trust. And we have an enemy in this life who is going to present anything else to you in front of your eyes as a win, as success, to purely to steer you off course from what God says. And make no mistake, he is here to do that. I want to read you a passage that many of us in this church would know well, but we haven't perhaps read it in this big chunk. John 10, starting from verse 1, he gives us this picture, Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep.
The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, they didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We need to make sure that we look to Jesus for our definition of success. Because the enemy has nothing more for you than to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And one of the ways that he does that is by presenting to us a faulty idea of what success actually is. Some easy ones is, well, you know, if you're going to get to this level of status, then you're going to be fulfilled. Or if you're going to be able to earn this much money, then you're going to be fulfilled. Or this achievement that's set in front of you is the real goal. At the expense of your friends, at the expense of your family, the achievement means that you are a success at the expense of all else. Or this one. What is success? Just don't muck it up. Just don't stuff it up. Just don't fail. You can do all that stuff, but just don't muck it up. And instead of living the rich and satisfying life that Jesus has promised us, we end up just trying not to muck it up. And before long, our definition of success has sunk to just don't fail. Which no one in human history can ever say that they've risen above, because we all fail in one way or another. And my message wasn't going to go here today. But as I was writing, I felt that God prompted me in this way, that this is a freedom moment for some people to have this unlocked. Because you have allowed your definition of success to simply be just don't fail. And I want to believe what God wants you to set you free from that default position with a revelation of what true success actually is. And if I'm to be honest with you, this was me a couple of years ago. October of 2019, the elders got together and decided that now was the right time and that I was going to become the lead pastor of this church in 2020, start of 2020. I want to thank you for setting an